Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Ka'Chava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition Chocolate Mint. With Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS for 15% off.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
This episode of Nuff Said with Bob Kuczynski is sponsored by Chef's Famous Italian Restaurant, home of the Spaghetti Parm and located at 291 Seneca Street in Buffalo. It's time now for Nuff Said with your host, Bob Kuczynski.
Hey, everybody, it's your old buddy, Bob Kuczynski, sitting all by my lonesome, and to each life, some rain must fall. And unfortunately, Mike Harrington, our scheduled guest, got called off to Sabres practice. So what are you going to do? You got to make good with what you've got. And so we're going to look back at some of the postgame comments from that very disappointing 24-14 loss by the Buffalo Bills to the Atlanta Falcons. Also, we'll take a look and hear from the Sabres after their disappointing 3-1 loss to Colorado. So, reminds me of that old bumper sticker, go Sabres and take the Bills with you, but I don't think we're quite in that position just yet. And a little later on, we're going to hear from our benefactor, Lou Billetier Jr. He's going to hint at what's coming up for Chef's Restaurant, and he's been a great sponsor so far. So our Buffalo Bills go into Atlanta and face a team that's 2-2, but it's the first time they've been on Monday Night Football in years. They are super psyched up. It's like their Super Bowl. It's a playoff atmosphere for them, albeit there was a lot of Bills Mafia in the crowd. And yes, our Buffalo Bills came out, laid an egg, definitely in the first half. The defense, porous as can be, and only by a great individual effort by Rapp that knocked London out at the 1 yard line as the clock expired at the end of the first half, gave the Bills a 21-7 deficit as opposed to a 28-7 deficit. We all know second half, Bills come out, they score, put a little life back into the guys on the sidelines. Defense starts making stops. It seems like the perfect formula for a comeback, yet another fourth quarter comeback. Offense just could not get untracked. Allen pressured on almost every play, and even when he wasn't, there was no one open. They definitely missed Kincaid. A lot of questions about this team. Let's hear what Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, and the boys had to say after that disappointing loss.
In the second half, fought through some injuries, guys stepping up. Injuries are not an excuse. There's no such thing as moral victories. But I did think that they battled down to the end right there, which I appreciate. Not good enough in the first half. Allowing them to be a two-dimensional offense when they hit us on some long runs, and then the receiver comes open, and so we've got I thought we did a good job making adjustments at halftime on the defensive side and limiting them in the second half and giving our offense some opportunities. Just not enough overall as a team. Special teams blocking the kick I thought was big for us. Obviously, I thought we had some momentum coming out of that, and then we have the third and short situation there with the ball on the ground. We got to be better there. So overall, opportunities just not good enough in getting the result that we want. We'll work hard at it. We got to figure it out. It's not going to be easy, but we got to figure it out, work our tails off to get it done.
Sean, obviously the defense struggled in the first half, much better second half, but your offense, that's the surprise. Everyone just expects your offense to score, and it just was not happening. Can you tell us what going on?
Well, I thought, you know, in the first half, you look back at it, I think James had 7 carries roughly. So getting him into a rhythm, staying in a two-dimensional offense against a good pass rushing defense, We knew that that was going to be important. We were off schedule quite a bit, and that can't happen against a defense like that. Second half, I thought we found a rhythm in that first drive in particular, and but then after that, you know, again we were shooting ourselves in the foot there. So we got to be better.
Coach, to that point, I think three possessions, you get the ball with a chance to tie the game, and you just, you know, two of those went three and out. You didn't move the ball hardly at all. I mean, how surprising was it even for you? Because, I mean, we're used to seeing this offense go up and down the field, and it just wasn't happening.
No, it wasn't, and we got to figure it out. We got to dive deep into what we're doing, how we're doing it, making sure we got the right people in the right positions, and then the execution at the end of the day. So, but we got to start from ground zero and work our way back up.
When the defense put you, I mean, to Sal's point, they played better in the second half, but you give up 335 yards in the first half. You're almost putting them in a position where they got to play a perfect game in the second half. How do you avoid those slow starts defensively in the first half in particular?
Yeah, you know, it comes down to run defense, run fundamentals. You know, they had some long runs. We had eight-man front call, defensive, you know, fronts, defensive schemes called to stop the run. And when they pop a run, when somebody's out of their gap, you know, A, we got to be able to make a tackle and put a defensive net on it, a secondary net. We call it a DB net. And then secondly, we shouldn't be out of our gaps to begin with. And we got to play better run defense, because that opens up then the pass. When you commit to the run, here comes the pass, right? So just overall a better start. And you know, but it's never one position. And I thought the guys did a better job in the second half. I think they had 335 in the first half, to your point, 443 total. So about 110 yards total in the second half. And we knew it was their run in five at halftime. And I thought we did a better job handling five in the second half. So you know, we made some good adjustments, but at the end of the day, not enough.
Sean, you had the shot play to open up the game on offense, but then the downfield passing seemed to really struggle. Have you been able to pinpoint why that the downfield passing attack 20 plus hasn't just been going this year?
No, I mean, again, we're on the bye now. We've got to look at it. We've got to spend a lot of time looking at this thing and figuring out what's going on and fixing it.
Sean, part of the, you know, obviously he was under pressure a lot tonight. They blitzed you like crazy. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like part of the problem, too, is there's just not guys getting open for him. And he's holding the ball, he's getting pressured, he's running around, and there's nowhere to go with it. Is that an issue you've got to really consider here?
Well, again, like I said, you have to evaluate everything to make sure that, you know, we're looking in the right spots in terms of, you know, the coverages we're getting and the quarterback's progression overall. I could feel what you were saying in terms of it was too hard tonight on our quarterback, and it doesn't need to be that hard all the time where he's having to run out of the pocket. Their pressure, I thought at times we picked up the pressure, and then at other times the pocket was getting affected early. So the rushing coverage, as you know, we talk a lot about that, and it was disrupting our offense too early in the down.
I mean, it takes everyone. Little details matter. You know, it wasn't good enough tonight, and we got to find ways. You know, we had some God-given opportunities. I mean, the play at the end of the half, Taylor Rapp busting his butt to make a play there, the field goal block. We had our opportunities to, you know, take advantage of, and we didn't.
Jack, I felt like you were under unusual amounts of pressure. Can you kind of tell us what was going on there?
Yeah, I mean, they had a good plan. Looks like they, you know, came off a bye week and got the game plan us quite a bit, and again, I got to be better and seeing the things that they're trying to do to us and make adjustments accordingly.
Josh, after the blocked field goal, you got the ball down. It was like third and two, and they called that sort of reverse to Shakir. Last week, Sean said things got too cute. Does that seem like that kind of a too cute play to run?
Listen, if it works, it's a great call. If it doesn't, it's not. If we run the ball there just downhill, it doesn't work. It's not a good call, right? Something that doesn't work is not going to be a good call. So we roll with it.
Josh, what coverage were the Falcons in, and how well did they do a good job of disguising that?
Yeah, played some man, you know, showing quarters and played some man to it. Yeah, we got to be better.
The loss of Palmer, how did that impact you guys moving forward there?
I mean, not great being down Dalton, obviously down Curtis. Guys got to step up in that position, and thought there were some plays made tonight. But we got to, again, I got to be better for this team.
Sean,
How difficult did they make it for you to take some shots downfield? It seemed like they was giving you those opportunities, but how tough was it for you to, you know, get the ball downfield?
Yeah, I mean, when we have opportunities, we had to convert them. You know, coming out in the first play, thought we had a good play there. Obviously, it worked. Didn't win.
So now the Bills have a bye week, and they'll have some time to regroup. They'll get some players back. But, folks, will look like a very easy schedule. Out of the remaining 11 games, six teams have winning records, and even some of the teams that don't, as we found out over the last 2 weeks on any given Sunday. All right, let's switch gears now and talk about the Buffalo Sabres, and they are 0-3. Mike Harrington, who was to be on with us today, and he's actually at Sabres practice even as we speak. They changed the schedule around on him. I'm sure they feel like they need more practice. They're 0-3. They've only scored two goals. Their power play can't get untracked. It was Mike Harrington himself who said back in August that if this team got off to an 0-3 start, Adams, general manager Adams, would be out of a job. That hasn't happened yet. But let's hear some of the disappointing comments after that 3-1 loss to the Avalanche on Columbus Day here in right here in Buffalo.
You know, we didn't break the puck out near as well. I thought first period really broke the puck out well. Got it below the goal line, or won a lot of battles, got around the net. Second period, you know, same thing. We had, you know, Thompson miss an empty net. I thought Bryce missed an empty net off the side. We had three or four really good opportunities. I didn't like our third. I thought, you know, we were overplaying those top 4D. I don't think we got up ice enough to help our forwards out, and they broke it out quicker. And some of our execution leaving the zone wasn't near as clean as it was in the first two periods.
You know, when you look at this team, I mean, teams can start a season 0-3, but just how shocked are you with the guys who were in that room to have two goals?
Yeah, you know what? You look at, we've got bodies that need to produce for us, for sure. A little bit of squeezing right now, but I think for me there was some good signs in that, you know, in that game. And I know we're a little short, but there was opportunities to produce. The Boston game, not near as much.
What are the signs?
Yeah. We had good ozone time. We skated on people. We had opportunities where we got to the inside. We missed the net on quite a few. I thought we just mishandled too many pucks that would have turned into better chances.
It's not good enough. A lot of the areas. Better start today. Worse ending. Not good power play. Good PK. Good goaltending. We can't catch a break there. We got to get out of this.
In the first period, you had people to the net. You had players there. You had pucks there. And that seemed to go away after that in the second and third. Is the first period more of the way you guys have to play?
Yeah.
How would you assess your game today?
My game?
Yeah.
Not good enough. We lost.
What did you see on that turnover on the second goal?
I was going for a breakaway the other way. It was a bad play. Horrible play.
How shocked are you with the talent in this room that you guys only have two goals? Is that even something you could even conceive?
We have a lot of guys out. A lot of guys are not in the lineup right now. But yeah, we have to score more to be able to win hockey games.
Since you seem to be in a good place coming into the season, just days in your 0-3, are you shocked that you're sitting here in this situation again?
Yeah, I am. It's a mix of everything. Not good enough on the ice, a lot of injuries. We have to step up. This is not acceptable, that's for sure.
Okay, so that was the Buffalo Sabres after their 3-1 loss to Colorado. And nobody knows more about the Sabres or has been a fan of the Sabres longer than our good friend Lou Billetier Jr. And we're here at his fine establishment. And Lou's been a great sponsor of the Nuff Said podcast, and you know, he's filling in because I'm sure he's got so many duties that he should be doing at the restaurant today. Because after all, Lou, it's restaurant week.
It is.
And what do we have going here at Chefs for Restaurant Week?
What we do here at Chefs, it's all week, of course. It's $30, and it's a three-course meal. You get about your, you know, you get the spaghetti parma, the chicken parma, lasagna, but there's about eight things you can choose from for your main entree, and you get a dessert. And it's just a way of giving back to the community a little bit and let them try our food for a little cheaper price.
And we've got great food here at Chefs, and all our guests receive gift cards, and they can take takeout. I tell you, it's so easy to get guests to come out here to do the podcast because they're coming to Chefs. Now, today, Mike Harrington would have been here, but the Sabres changed their schedule, and so he's covering the team. Now, you go way back with it. You were once a stick boy for the Buffalo Sabres.
I was, through the 70s.
Actually, you were stick boy for the competition, right?
Yes, I handled the opposing team. So I got to be friends with all the greats back in the 70s. I carried everybody from Wayne Gretzky's sticks to Marcel Dion and Phil Esposito, and they're all good friends to this day.
So wait a minute. I mean, you had to be 30 years old when Wayne Gretzky was playing in the league. You were still stick boy?
Wayne and I are the same age, believe it or not. First time I met Wayne, I was their stick boy, and I was 18, and I think he was 18 as well.
Wow.
Yeah, so I didn't know who he was. That was the best part. It was just when he came into the NHL, and after the game, some teams would have beer in the locker room, and Wayne says, "Hey, you want a beer?" I go, "Yeah, sure, why not?" So we sat down, and he said, "Hi, I'm Wayne." I said, "Hey, I'm Lou." And it started from there, and then he always comes to Chefs when he's in Buffalo.
Wow.
We've stayed friends
to
this day.
And you've stayed friends with a lot of the greats that came through Buffalo.
Yeah, I have. I've been very lucky.
You should see his office. He's got so many autographed items. They're not organized,
no,
but they're there.
All.
They're there.
Yeah.
Now, Lou, we've hinted on your Facebook page and Instagram. There's a big project in the works here at Chefs. I know you can't give out the details, but I know it's exciting.
It is. I'm thrilled. I mean, we've done a lot of crazy things over the years. We've done a lot of promotional stuff. But this one really hits home for myself, my family, other families. So it'll be more than a couple more weeks, I think, until we make the big announcement. But we've got something really big coming.
You're teaming up with David Boreanaz. Now, David's dad was known in Buffalo as Dave Thomas.
Correct.
You have to be of a certain age to know who Dave Thomas was. But for many of us, we grew up with Dave. He was the host of Rocket Ship 7 in the morning. He was also the host of Dialing for Dollars in the morning. And for a little while, they even ran Rocket Ship 7 in the afternoon.
Right.
And then Dave went on to bigger and better things in Philadelphia. But his son, David, has been an unbelievable actor. He's been in, what are the shows that David's been on?
He's been in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He was the headliner in Angel. He was the headliner in Bones. He was the headliner in SEAL Team. He's had a phenomenal TV career.
Right.
He's done movies in between those as well, but those are his big things as TV.
So this is kind of a reuniting of the families, the Boreanaz and the Bilitier family, because Dave Sr. was great friends. He was more like a brother to your dad, Lou Sr. And so now it's you and David, and he's going to be part of promoting this great venture that's going to come to Chefs, which we can't say what it is yet.
No, not yet, but it's going to be very cool. You know, La Familia is going to be very much with the Boreanazes and the Bilitiers.
Really cool.
Yeah.
I know what it is, but I can't say.
Right.
I can't say. Lou, thanks for filling in here. I hope, you know, Restaurant Week is a huge success. I know it always is here at Chefs, one of the great iconic restaurants in Buffalo, over 100 years, and still going strong, so all the best.
Oh, thank you, Bob. I appreciate it.
And I know it's a big holiday on your calendar. Have a great Halloween, too.
Thank you.
What are you going to be this year?
I'm not sure. I'm still trying to be politically correct this year.
That's almost impossible for our friend, but you've gotten much better.
I have.
You got much better. That's going to do it. We'll see you all next week on the next edition of Neff Said. Have yourselves a great night and a much better tomorrow.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.